Yeah, can. Okay. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. On it. Okay. Okay, can I? Let it rotate. Okay. Can I? Okay. Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 15th August, 2019, Thursday class. We are having the class in Brother Teo and Sister Padmasri's house. We shall now get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, saddha, virya, then mindfully, we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Kwansin Pusa. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Po Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa Buddhang Bhagawantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onwards. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dvitiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dvitiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dvitiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Panatipata viramane sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Adinādana viramane sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācāra viramane sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Musāvādā viramane sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Sūrāmīraya majjhapamādathāna viramane sikkhapadaṃ samādiyāmi. Now we chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa dipena dipena tamadangsina diloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacanamuttamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindas siri pada sarorohe. Pujemi mutang kusumena nena punnena matena ca hotu mokam. Pupang milayati yata idam me kayo tatayati vinasabhavam. Adivasetu nobante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Adivasetu nobante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Adivasetu nobante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripaja. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. We shall have half an hour silent awareness meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you can start straight away. The key to developing meditation is relax, the first support. Then second support is just maintain awareness. If you have developed the spiritual faculty, it's very easy to meditate. The moment you're silent, relax, maintain awareness, you will be in the meditative state very soon, very fast. For those where the mental hindrance are still there, means your spiritual faculties are still not stable, then maybe you need to train the healer's thinking mind. Either you decondition it using the mind sweeping method, followed by metta, then after that stabilize with anapanasati, or you can straight away using whatever object of meditation that you are familiar with to just stabilize it, relax, maintain mindfulness of the in and out breath is anapanasati. If it's other object of meditation, you just relax and maintain awareness over that object of meditation. until the mind become very quiet, very still. Means the mind naturally will develop the mindfulness until it's very quiet, very still. Then relax into every mind state that arises, so that your mind will be calm, will be peaceful, but it's not in concentration. Then you allow this mind to settle down until it becomes very quiet, very still, until the mind enters positive. Then after that, use that silent mind to meditate. Then relax, aware, maintain awareness. Either thought arise, let it arise. Do not do anything to it, just allow it to be. Don't resist, don't suppress, don't fight. Just allow it to be. Then naturally the thinking will slow down and it will settle down until the mind become very quiet, very still. That is your silent mind, your meditative mind. You have to develop that. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. Then when the half an hour is up, the alarm will go off. Then I will ring the bell. After that, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Hiti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati sati Ta deva manusana buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko Ehi paseko opanayiko Pajatang veditabo vinohiti Supatipano bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipano bhagavato savakasango Nyaya patipano bhagavato saukasango Samichi patipano bhagavato saukasango Vyadidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato saukasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaniyo anutarang punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Bedang Pujayami. Namang Pujayami. Sahang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Then maintain some more attention. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is reporting of meditation, followed by whatever question you may have. You just have to raise your hand. We will pass you the mic. Anybody? Yeah. Pass to Angie. Where's the mic? Oh, okay.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Yes.
And all color animators. When we are relaxed and doing meditation, I feel sometimes I can hear the breathing. And then I can see the phenomena, the three characteristics.
Oh, okay.
In terms of impermanence.
Yeah.
The non-self of things and the dukkha.
You can see them. It's very good. But you have to report how you actually can have the understanding. That one will help. Can you describe a bit?
When the thought arise.
Yes.
So if I just let it be.
Yeah.
I can experience that. Yeah. It will just disappear by itself.
Yeah.
So it will drop off by itself.
Okay.
But if I cling on to it, then the thinking will perpetuate, and then it will proliferate, and then you keep chasing after the thinking, and sometimes it may become a very big issue.
Yes.
Then the mind keep thinking about solution.
Okay.
So if I follow what Brother Teo advised I just let it be.
You realize
that it will.
You realize it will slowly cease by itself.
That's
very good.
Then
you can find out that way, then it will be very useful.
Then
you just maintain that meditative silence. Then through that meditative silence, it will understand by itself. That's why I say you no need to use thought. You no need to use knowledge to try to relate to what you do in the meditation. You just silent, relax, aware. Then through that, the observation of it, the awareness of what happened will give you the understanding. Then sometimes it can come in the meditative state, which is a lot better. This one that you describe, I need to ask you one more question. Did you reflect on it after the meditation? Then you develop the clear understanding? Or did something happen during meditation? Then it lead to that understanding.
During meditation as well as throughout the day.
When you are out of the meditation, in your daily mindfulness, you reflect, you contemplate, then you develop the understanding.
That one
is also very good. Well, that one will stabilize your second turning. But there is another type, which is the realization while you are in that state of silence. As you experience that silence, the meditative mind, the awareness, then it becomes very still. Then as this thing happens, all of a sudden, inside, deep inside, there is a realization. And that one is more penetrative. Then when that one happens, after you come out of the meditation, you become very different. Then when you reflect into it, contemplate into what happened, then the understanding will become very different, very much more penetrative and stable.
Mm.
So that second possibility is what most people find difficult to realize. But the first aspect that you have realized is also considered very good, because that will lead to the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Then as you understand, the three characteristics of nature will become clear to you, like you described just now. All thoughts or sankhara, the thinking process, they are of that nature. Yeah. They arise, they pass away. You follow, you stir the mind. You create more, you get yourself more entangled. Then when you give meaning, you develop the attachment, the craving, the clinging. You develop the suffering. So all this you will start to understand. Then because they arise and they pass away, then you realize it is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. So that understanding you need to reflect, contemplate until it becomes very clear. Yeah, within your daily mindfulness contemplation. To do the contemplation, sometimes you can just like alone at home. Yeah? You can just sit on a chair. Then you can reflect, contemplate. Or you can sit outside your house, the garden there, especially on the morning, very cooling, where people haven't wake up, but you already wake up. Then sometimes you got a balcony or veranda, or sometimes I walk outside my garden there, then I will reflect. Or sometimes in my house, I will also do that reflection. Yeah. I can either walk slowly, then the reflection will arise by itself. Then through that reflection, contemplation, it will develop clear understanding and there is joy. Then as Dhamma unfolds, your understanding becomes different. Then every time you encounter the same sense experience or similar nature of sense experience, your understanding, which we call yoniso manasikara, they will prompt you, they will straight away come out and tell you that the characteristics of nature, of all phenomena, they are like that. This is the universal characteristics of all phenomena. So no point clinging, no point grasping, no point holding. And there is nobody inside there to do all this. Then your thought process will become different. The straightening of the view will liberate your mind. Then you will not hold on to things like normal people. Then to you, sankhara anicchang, sankhara dukkang, sankhara anatta. You understand very clearly. That's why you don't want to argue with people anymore. You don't want to get yourself entangled anymore. You don't want to react. You don't want to stir your mind. You don't want to do anything. Unless it can bring about some form of wholesomeness, goodness. Unless it can help out in a situation or people, then you need to arise. You will arise through an understanding following Noble Eightfold Path. And that is moving into the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. From the understanding, you will move into the cultivation, which means life itself. How to apply the Noble Eightfold Path in life. So every time you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel something, or the thought through memory recall something. This Yoniso Manasikara wisdom at the moment of sense experience will immediately prompt you to enable you to act according to wisdom. So acting according to wisdom means straight away you will know thing is just the way it is. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Conditions like that, things like that. You will understand. That's why straight away your mind will not react, will not stir like before. It's at peace. Yeah. Then it will have the understanding to act. Yeah. Then how can I resolve this amicably? How should I arise my speech? So if you have trained yourself through right speech, right action and right thought, then all this will be very handy. Yeah. But initially you need to go through the training. What constitutes right thought? What constitutes right speech? What constitutes right action? You have to develop it first. That's why the four right effort is very important. The four right effort, the first two is to deal with defilements. So that one is for people who are not really very stable in their ability to develop the meditation. But at least they have the pariyatti understanding, means phase one of Dhamma, they have learned this teaching, then they know this teaching based on what they have studied or contemplated and reflected. Then they try to apply. So apply, the first right effort, the Buddha say, right effort to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action that has arisen. So if you put it to test, you will have to inquire, why did the Buddha say this? How can I do it? So the inquiry is very important. The Buddha say this is because initially you have to learn to see the defilement, means the wrong thought, the wrong speech, and wrong action before you can abandon it. So to see it, you must have mindfulness. That's why daily mindfulness is very important. Then to see, you must also have contemplated and reflected as to what constitutes evil. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation need right view. What constitutes evil? Whatever speech, action and thought process that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, they constitute evil. They are evil root, root of all evil, make you evil. Then you have to expand on it. Greed is not just greediness. All of your desire, your lust, your craving, your covetousness, your like, your pleasurable attachment, they are all part of greed. Even your selfishness, your possessiveness, your craving and all these things. They are part of greed. Then you have to move on to what constitutes the evil roots of hatred, anger, ill will, even envy, jealousy. Then when you see them arising in your mind state, through mindfulness, you are aware. That's how you know this is wrong thought. Anger has arisen. Fear has arisen. Dislike, pleasant and unpleasant experience that goes on in your mind, the stirring of the mind, the reaction of mind. Then you realize all these are the evil roots of greed and hatred, then delusion is ignorance that leads to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Then all this is the beginning of cultivation. When I know what constitutes evil, then I can be mindful of them. That is the first training. Then after I saw them, let's say, the greed, the selfishness, that thought, how am I going to abandon it? Or let's say anger, emotion, envy, jealousy, fear. After they have arisen, how can I abandon it? Or how can you all abandon it? You have to understand. What did the Buddha teach? Yeah? There are how many ways to abandon them? Yeah? Five ways. What are the five ways? I write them down. Five ways to abandon unwholesome thoughts. Speech and action. First way is what? Yeah? First way is what? Huh? Louder, louder. No, sati is mindfulness. You are aware, you are already mindful that, let's say, you have an unwholesome thought. You got this selfish thought, or lustful thought, or greedy thought, or envy, jealousy, fear. Let's say you aware through mindfulness the reason already. How are you going to abandon it? Very good. Tell me. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. So this one still involves the thinking. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Wholesome thought. Or wholesome speech and wholesome action. Let's say you got anger. You got envy, jealousy, hatred. What is the direct opposite wholesome thought? Metta, very good. Love, metta. Then when you realize that you have a lot of cruelty, you want to harm people, hurt people, even animal or whatever, the direct opposite wholesome thought is develop compassion. You must have compassion. You must feel for the living being. Their suffering, their misery. Then you reflect. If I do this, karma-wise, in future I will be born like that creature, like that insect or that animal. Then people will destroy me. People will kill me, will harm me. With cruelty, you reap what you sow. Do you want that? If you don't want that, then you must have compassion for them. Because they also have life. They are also living beings like you. So when you reflect, you contemplate, this compassion will arise and you cannot do it. That's how you can overcome it. That's why love and compassion is very important. Then when you have lust, what must you reflect? Huh? What is it? What is it? I said. Oh, that one is too drastic. No need to go to that one. that one can help, of course, because but very drastic. Yeah? Like sometimes I was told by people who report to me, "But you, what you think? The monk told me to reflect on the skeleton. Everything also look like skeleton only, so no mood. How pretty, how beautiful, how young, how what you call, how lovely, but look inside, skeleton only." Or like Tammy said, the 32 part, ayo, it's beneath the skin, all the foul thing and all those things. Then when it's devoid of consciousness, that one, provided you have reflected, contemplated them before, then you will develop that dispassion, understand not? That dispassion means you like, you know, when you try to eat some good food, then when somebody say something, you lost the mood to eat. You experienced that before. No? You contemplate the 32 part is just the same. You lost the mood to do that. But for me, I prefer to do it in a very easy way. Yeah. I reflect on contentment. You know what is contentment or not? Yeah? Contentment is very important. If you are contented, then you will have the understanding. When you are contented, that's why the lay people, the Buddha prescribed 5 precepts. Understand? You don't have to go 8 precepts for lay people. Then contentment is, you must be contented. Let's say you're already married, understand? So you must be contented with your married life. If you don't have contentment, then the mind will think, and so on. That craving, the desire, the lust, they will actually condition you to do foolish things. And because of that, we call that the what is that word earlier? Cheap thriller. Is it cheap thriller? You know what you do or not? You destroy your whole family unit, understand? Or? What happens if your spouse come to know? Then what is going to happen? Your whole family unity, harmony, disrupted. Your children is going to suffer. Your in-law is going to suffer. Your parents are going to suffer. Even your brother and sister who are immoral. It's just because you go and get yourself entangled in all this thing. And the Cantonese got a very good saying, or all things you go and gather the soul zhao xi. In English, how to translate? It's like you go and gather all this shit back to the house and make your family unit miserable. So contentment is very important. When you have contentment, your mind is free. Even if you are very poor, you understand? You don't go and compare, ayo, how come my neighbor doing so well? They are not really that smart. I could have done better. But you don't understand the Buddha Dhamma. You don't know how to realize all these things, because there are causes and conditions for their arising. So if you don't have contentment, you will develop envy, jealousy, and all those things. But when you have contentment, what happens? You are contented with life. You are contented with what you have. Then there is no more of this thought projection. Then you can be at peace. You will not have this wrong thought of envy, jealousy, unhappy thought, all this, no more. Then the lustful thought, the selfish thought, all no more, because you are contented with life. You are contented with what you have. You don't compare. So a lot of things, when you have contentment, you are very peaceful. Your life is very peaceful. you are very happy. Having a shelter over your head with a treadmill and a simple life, you are so blessed, and so on. Yeah, you compare with people who don't have a shelter over their head, who don't even have proper meals. The 3 meals are not guaranteed. They who are born deformed, they have health problem. They have financial problem. They have disease leading to serious traumatic life-threatening situation. So a lot of things, when you have that contentment, you will have a lot of joy inside you. It's just like those who know how to reflect on contentment. When you are contented, you will appreciate life. Even your body, if it has any problem, you are contented that the other parts are still in order. The other organs are still functioning. At least you are not so bad. There are people who are worse than you. So contentment actually can put your mind at peace. You feel much better. So contentment is a very important virtue. That's why all these are virtue. The direct opposite wholesome thought is to think of the virtuous thought. Virtuous thought. Then, number two is what? Gratitude is also under the first one. Virtuous thought, all this. The second one is the consequent. Wait. Think of the consequent. Consequent of holding on to that wrong thought. Think of the consequent of holding on to that wrong thought. So if you hold on to the wrong thought, means these are evil thoughts with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So if you hold on to them, what happens? It will make you evil. It will cause you to have negativity of karma. It will cause your karmic nature to fall. So this is what happens when you don't know how to reflect. You don't know how to contemplate. That's why this unthinking is actually contemplation. But these are thought-based. Do you understand? These are not meditative solutions. Initially, you can use it. But after a while, it may not really work. But initially, because this is cultivation of the four right effort, the right effort to abandon. So you have to learn them. Initially, you learn them. You learn them. Then after that, you will move on to the more effective one. We call the meditative way. The third way is the meditative way. Just aware. Just aware. This is the meditative way. So when you are just aware of the unwholesome thought like fear, anger, hatred, you just stay with it. Be with it. The awareness just aware. You just feel it, understand not? Feel it. Then you find out what happened. When you don't give it any more thinking energy or thought energy, that whole thing will cease. You must experience it. When the whole of that negative thought, fear, worry, anxiety, or even lust, craving, all this you can apply it. The moment you silent and maintain awareness, because these are not intrinsic within your true mind, your true nature. Anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, all these unwholesome thoughts, they are dependent originating. But before they arise in you, it was never there. Then how did it arise? That's why the fourth way we will learn that. also meditative way. But when you stay with it aware, it will cease. Because these are dependent originating mind states. So this mind state will cease when you just aware. That's why the power of awareness to deal with defilement is very powerful. The awareness is like a wisdom energy. It will see clearly the defilement. And this defilement, you no need to use thought to do anything with it. The moment you understand that it will cease by itself, that this is dependent originating, no more condition for it to proliferate or move or to become more agitated, it will cease to be. That's why awareness is very powerful. You shine the light of awareness on it, all defilement cease. So this third way is most powerful. Yeah. But this one cannot allow you to live life, understand? Yeah, every time you got problem, you need to lie down and meditate or sit or relax and maintain awareness. You cannot. Then after that, you come out peaceful. Go out again, come back with the problem. Never get resolved, understand? Yeah. But you know, but the wisdom is not penetrative enough. So the Buddha teaches you the fourth way. The fourth way is to trace the origination factor. So this one is very important. Then retrospectively, reverse it. So this one is more effective. So how do you trace the origination factor? How do you trace the origination factor? Yeah? You have to find out, isn't it? Before I get angry, there was no anger. How did I get angry? You trace. If you are mindful, aware, you will know. Means either you saw something. In Cantonese, they say msun ngana. Means you saw something that disturbed you. Yeah. You could have seen your enemy or somebody who had cheated you before or played you out before or say certain thing that is very bitter that the memory recall. That's why you get angry with that guy because you recall through memory what he has done and all those things. And sometimes you hear through your hearing conscience, somebody scolded you, abused you, say all those harsh words towards you, especially in the job environment, when your boss throw the file at you and tell you off. Useless guy, stupid fellow. I don't know how I ever had employed you. How do you feel? You want to get angry, you also worried. He is the boss. You may lose your job. So you are in a dilemma. So all this is how you trace. It's either through something you hear or you recall to memory or you see. The seeing, the hearing, and the memory, these three are very powerful. So when this unwholesome mind state arise through wrong thought, all this wrong thought, they arise because of your wrong view. Without wrong view, it will not arise. Because you react to what you see, what you hear, and what you recall to memory. So this reaction of mind created the evil of anger, hatred, jealousy, everything. Then when they arise, according to Satipatthana Sutta, when you have the ability to develop mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases, then you see all these things. You start to have the ability to understand how they originate. Then when you know how they come to be, you will know how to reverse it retrospectively. Correct or not? So you ask yourself, what actually went wrong? What actually happened? You ask yourself, why must I react when I see that guy? Why must I get angry when I heard all this abusive word? It all comes about through what? Self-delusion, sakkayaditti. Because I believe I exist. There is a me, a I. There is an enemy. People whom I don't like. Then somebody say something. Hit the egoic mind because I believe I am that. But if you have the understanding of the Dhamma, then you become different. So you realize it's wrong view, self-delusion. So how can I root out self-delusion? If I know through the meditation, like what Angie mentioned just now, every phenomena, they have the universal characteristics of impermanent leading to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not me, not I. Therefore, he know me, he know you. So to straighten the view, I need to understand this. And when I understand this, then I realize people are just the way they are. Through ignorance, they do ignorant things. Selfish people do selfish things. They are just the way they are. So I have to have this right view to develop the ability to accept them for what they are. That's why the Buddha says, see things as they are. Accept them for what they are. Then the world is the world. Why are we so agitated by what happened to the world? Understand? That's why nowadays with social media words, WhatsApp, very emotional. Small, small thing also. Oh, how can this guy do this? Honestly. I mean, it's no harm receiving this information. But you have to learn how to filter them and ask yourself, what are you doing? Whatever you do, is it conducive for society? Is it helping society? Or is it helping somebody to propagate all this, to create more division, misunderstanding, more anger, more emotion? If you don't reflect on all this, what you do could have karmic implications, understand? You know, what you send out influence people, understand? People who don't have the Dhamma will be affected. That's how the mob, they call what? Mob, M-O-B. M-O-B has a mob, mob instinct. The mob instinct, they like act together. Then they like not rational anymore. Like the Hong Kong protesters are so conditioned. Then you try to be right and wrong. Cannot. These people are just the way they are. If you want to argue about right and wrong until the cow come home or so, you cannot find the answer. Why must you argue and try to blame? No. It's because living being lack understanding, lack wisdom. That's why this thing come about. So it is a consciousness that evolved because somebody did something. So condition that. So you learn to accept them for what they are first. Then through your own understanding, you radiate love, you radiate metta. Then you help out by assimilating things that are useful, helpful. Do you understand? Have you received the Hanayo? Her one is not bad. Hanayo. He said, enough of this division already. Enough of all this problem already. Now is the time to reconcile. And do not deviate from all this. Do not fall into the trap of people who want to instigate through racial and all those things. No. Otherwise, more and more chaotic. Understand? Everybody becomes so charged up, so emotional. Then what you do? You end up like Hong Kong. everybody lose anasara. You have to do it through the Dhamma way, through an understanding. That's why Krishnamurti is very wise. He said, the individual must change for society to change. Each and everyone. Because we are the summation of the collective consciousness of society. Understand? Like our Malaysian society. You can talk about New Malaysia, but it's a summation of all the consciousness of the Malaysian people. Or people who are in Malaysia. So these are the aspects of Dhamma that we need to learn to establish. And every time we reflect, we contemplate, everything we want to send out, is it conducive? Is it helpful? Otherwise, and why? And why? That's why only useful information that you can contribute, like we all can meet. Every session we contribute. Do you know how we contribute? We chant blessing for the nation, understand? We invoke power of merit. Deo vasatukalena sasasampatihetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. So we invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for the nation to have a righteous government, a righteous king. Then we invoke causes and conditions for our people to have the good harvest. May the rain fall in the right place and all those things. May the farmer and all those producers have good harvest, good return on their whatever for manufacturing is different, return on their product or on their investment or whatever industry they are in. So all these are wholesomeness. So if you do all this, the fifth way is not important. The fifth way is, the Buddha said, if after teaching you all these four ways, you also still cannot do it. In the Cantonese way, he says, "Chapsa, you do yourself." he cannot help you anymore. So he said, the fifth way, with your tongue against your palate. How to spell? Yue, tongue against your palate. You know what is palate, no? Your palate. How to spell? L-L-E-T-T-E. Tongue against your palate. Determine strongly to abandon it. To abandon it. This one is the complete one. So first two, you can learn, try. So this part is the first part. First right effort, to abandon the unwholesome thought. So there are five ways to do it, but the best one is the third and the fourth. The first two, you only develop it so that you can cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. Opposite wholesome, means all the virtuous thought. Virtuous speech and action. This is cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. Then the second right effort is what you will do. You will only have the ability when you have reflected, contemplated, and done these five ways. No need five, four. First four enough. Especially third and fourth. Then after that, you will develop the wisdom and the understanding. You know how to retrospectively reverse it to right view, to straightening your view. So after you have the ability to straighten your view, you will be able to have the understanding to prevent the unwholesome thought from arising. So the second right effort is right effort to prevent the wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action from arising. Means, with this understanding, yoniso manasikara, wisdom, then at the moment of sense experience, it will come out and prompt you. Then it will tell you, this is evil, lead to negativity or karma. Then you can abandon it. Yeah. Then sometimes you can even talk to that thought, enough. You have caused me enough suffering, especially those in depression. Yeah. Like I remember last time, Alicia used to tell the thought, enough, you have tormented me for 16 years. Don't come and disturb me anymore. Straight away, the unwholesome thought, the wrong thought, the depressive thought, reverse, cease by itself. Because of the understanding, the wisdom. But the moment he saw, he straight away recalled, these are the wrong thought that she was holding on to. That's why she was in depression for 16 years. Go and see psychiatry, take all the medication, or no use. Doesn't help. But he came to my Tuesday class. Within a few months, she came out of it. Then she was chasing my recorded talk. You ask Suyan. He every time chased Suyan. Suyan, the recording. That's why Suyan now very fast, very efficient. That night finished, middle of the night you receive. So, all this understanding will arise. Then you will know how to abandon them. Then I come to the third right effort. The third right effort is even more beautiful. You must arise the right effort. Yeah? To arise the wholesome thought, wholesome action, and wholesome speech that are still not in you. That is cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. What constitutes right thought, right speech, right action? Right thought, all the virtuous thought are right thought. That's why you will write it down. Contentment, gratitude, like just now. Angie mentioned. Then, what else? Respect. What else? Love. Then? Sincerity. Understand? So, all these are virtuous thoughts. Then, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness. Even goodness. That's why wholesome thought, there are a lot. The four Brahma Vihara are all wholesome thought. But not only these four. That's why rejoicing is also a wholesome thought. Gratitude towards people, respect, contentment. Then also you have this, what they call love, joy, happiness. Then the meditative peace, calmness. These are all wholesome mind states, tranquility, stillness. Then after that, when it comes to speech, what are right speech? What constitutes right speech? Yeah? If you don't know them, you cannot cultivate. Proper, appropriate, kind and gentle speeches that leads to harmony, love, understanding. No more negativity. That's why you must speak in a very gentle manner. Gentle, pleasant, and appropriate, wholesome speeches that can bring about harmony, joy, happiness, bring about understanding, bring about harmony, no more division and all those things. Then what about right action? What is right action? Huh? What are right action? The first precept is what? Opposite of first precept. Non-killing. When you don't harm and don't kill living beings, what type of virtue do you have? You have compassion, you have love, you have kindness. You are very kind, you are very gentle, you are very pleasant. And you have love, you have compassion in your heart. That's why all these are right action. Then if you don't steal from people, means what? You cultivate the ennobler. Generosity. So a generous act is right action. A sincere act is right action. So a lot of action based on virtue are all right action. Your gratitude towards people who have helped you. These are right thought and right action. Then you rejoice and you thank them. This is how you express all this right action, right speech and right thought. Then when you talk to people, learn to talk in a very gentle and pleasant manner. How can I help you? Did I cause you any misunderstanding or suffering? If I have done it, I would like to ask for forgiveness. Then say this nice word. Thank you so much for helping. People feel very good, isn't it? True or not? Excuse me. May I ask you a question? Or can you help me? I need assistance. I'm from where? So all these are very important. Right speech, right communication. Especially you work in a service industry. Emergency unit. Your speech is very important. A lot of people doesn't know how to communicate. Do you realize that? They are very rude and very crude. Seldom you meet somebody who is very gentle and very nice. That's why when I go to government department or I go to this service industry or people who attend to me or whatever, they feel very good. They like to help me and talk to me. I always thank them. Then I will smile first. I say morning or good evening. Then sometimes you see his mood. If he's not happy or whatever, then you talk to her very nicely. And then after that, depend on how she reply or whatever, you always remember to thank her. Thank you so much. You have been very helpful. Thank you, thank you. I tell you, her day will be brightened as well. Most people go there, make life difficult for them. But you are the only one that brighten up their life. That's why they like you and they remember you. So sometimes also our age help. They see the gray hair. They will call me uncle. Uncle, what can I do for you? Uncle. The Malay staff, sometimes in the bank and all, they are very helpful. And when they call me uncle, I know already. They respect me already. Boleh bantu lah. Oh, boleh, boleh, uncle. Apa you nak? Then they help you. They are very helpful. These are the things. That's why I speak to people in a very, very gentleness, pleasantness. With understanding, appropriate speech is very important. And this is Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, do you know that? Right effort to arise, all this right action, right speech and right thought that are still not in you. Then the last right effort is what? Right effort to arise? To refine upon and perfect whatever right action, right speech and right thought that you have. Don't go and think that you already have mastered them. You can still improve on them. Understand? No? There are many ways. Then the most important one is to your own loved ones. Appreciate what your spouse have done for you. Understand? Or sacrifice for you. You thank them, I tell you. They feel so good. No? And they are willing to work very hard for you. You all don't appreciate. I used to give this analogy, then you all will understand. You know what is a spouse or not? Especially the wife. If she is a housewife. Do you know how much appreciation or gratitude you must have for them? Because you are married to them, they are willing to work for you. Maid, you hire, you have to pay, you know, agent fee, maid's salary. Then maid doesn't always listen to you, you know. This one, no salary, work for you for free, you know, and take care of your whole household, you know. And you somehow don't appreciate, somehow every time want to quarrel, get angry, you know, tit and tat, scolding here and there. That's why you must have gratitude. Then you go back, you say, thank you so much for helping out. This is what we call gratitude towards people who has contributed towards our life, our family unit. Anyway. Then sometimes you thank them for helping to look after the children. All this may not be like in the company they call profit center, understand? Not? You know what is profit center, not? Bring in the money one. So the husband or the household who bring in the money one, they always say this is a profit center. The housewife is not a profit center. It's a cost center, understand? All need to pay on. Buy sundry thing, buy rice, buy milk powder, everything is cost center. But do you know how much they contribute? Their contribution is way beyond. And they sacrifice for you because out of love. That's why when you can reflect and contemplate, you will have a lot of gratitude towards them. You will thank them for what they have done. Then there is harmony, understand? Otherwise, you take things for granted. That word is very important for spouse. Never, never take your spouse for granted. You take them for granted. You never say even those very important kind words that doesn't cost you anything, understand? That you can make them feel so good, and you don't know how to use it. That's why Noble Eightfold Power is so powerful. You don't know how to apply right thought, right speech, especially right speech, then right action. Right action means what? Do something that they will feel rewarded and happy. I think you deserve a good dinner. What about this weekend? Where would you like to go for dinner? I tell you, your wife will hug you. Thank you deeply. But instead, never really have this gratitude or whatever. Then sometimes the opposite also, you must think, the wife also must think of the husband. They sacrifice so much in the office. They take all the pressure from the bosses and all those things, the board of director, under tremendous pressure, like pressure cooker. Come back, somehow got to face the family. Not easy, huh? So sometimes you can really feel for them, and then you observe their behavior. Then you know something happened in the office. Very moody and like not himself, understand, or like got problems inside there. Then you must, as a spouse or wife, you must know how to attend to them. How are you? You don't seem happy today. Did anything happen in the office? Then console. Talk to them nicely, then give them faith, confidence, motivate them. Don't worry. Worst case scenario, change job. We can survive. Understand? Hunted means what? More frugally. No problem, understand? So that they are confident. Otherwise they're scared of losing the job. They try to means they try to bear all those stress, pressure and all those things. What for? Life is not about money alone. You can find your true happiness when you have the Dhamma. The Dhamma can actually bring about a lot of understanding to free your mind. Then like our Chinese tradition, very good. We got this saying, Tong kam ta ta sai ka. You know the meaning, huh? Job is everywhere. If this one not appropriate, then change job. When you change job, a lot of advantage. You know what are the advantage? The first one is what? Why do you change job? Higher pay. Correct, huh? better prospect, isn't it? Then, what else? You change job, go there, new environment. First 3 months go yang kaki. Understand? Nothing much to do until the pressure come, the work build up. Where you are so efficient, people dump to you. And you have a lot of workload. Then what happened? Change job lah. But don't say brother tears. But for me, it's different. My career track record very good. My job, every job I go, I stay longer. Every job I go, I stay longer. But my first 2-3 job, I change job very fast. We have the offer come. They know I very good. I first 3 jobs, I seldom work more than 3 months. The first job, the contractor like me. Actually, before my exam, they already told me after my 3rd year training, he said, after you finish, you straight away come. We will hire you. So I know I got a job already. So after my exam, the next day I reported for work. And I did so well. They were so happy with me. They back pay my pay back to the first day I joined. Because convocation, my result came out. My result was very good also. So they back pay. Then they some more, because I worked 3 months on the government service, government compulsory service, I have to work for government. They pay me, I worked 3 months and they pay me 3 months bonus. And they increased my pay back then. When I just came out, they pay me 700, I think. They back pay to the day I started, they pay me 1,000 or someone pay me 3 months bonus after. Then I didn't know that job as an engineer was so good. I don't have a car, so my elder brother lent me a car. And that car, they gave me car allowance. They pay for my road tax, my insurance. Then all my petrol are free. Maintenance all free. That's why my brother very happy. He said, you use the car. Because last time, my brother told me, to put a full tank in Alostar is not cheap, you know. So to him, when the car come back, the petrol tank full. He very happy. Weekend, he can drive around. Then all the road tank insurance, all no need to pay, you know, he reimburse of the company. Then repair everything, all in the company. Then the entertainment also, they say it's like unlimited. If I need to use, they say you just use. That's why I enjoy my career as an engineer. Then the moment I graduate, within the first 2-3 months, I put on almost from 109, I shoot up to 132 pound, not kilo, please. Within 2-3 months. My weight very standard. When I was in Form 5, Form 6, I 90 over pound. Very skinny. Undernourished. But not really undernourished. But we don't have that type of nutritious food at the time. Your family very big. Then when I went into your MU, I stay college first year. You know how many meals or not they give? 5 meals a day. Breakfast. Morning, early morning. Very nutritious breakfast. The bread unlimited. Then butter, kaya, peanut, all unlimited. Then you got hard-boiled egg some more. Then you got your chicken or whatever. Then after that, 10:30, tea break. Then lunch. After lunch, 3 o'clock, tea break again. Then dinner. Then at night supper, long sing. That one have to pay. But they play carom with me. They lost to me so much. Every game you lose, you have to spend me either a char kway teow or a coke or a drink. that medical student lost to me until he owed me 100 over kok and char kway teow. I asked my floor mate to come and help to eat, also cannot finish. So that was a really fun. So that time I weighed, straight away, within first 2-3 months, 94 pounds shoot to 109 until I graduate. Then 109 to 132 until now, still the same. Oh. So my weight got two phases. Then when I work longer. Every job I go, my track record very good. He said, why you change so many jobs? I say, you look at the duration I work longer and longer. I don't change job because I want to change job. But it's actually based on condition. I know time to go already. Your condition manifests already. But for me, I never had a situation where the job pressure create the pressure for me to move. No, I never. Yeah. But I came to realize every time I change job, I got a lot of free time for the first few months. Because not much work. Work take time to come in. And I realized every time I change job, I got a better job. I got this... The job scope become like very much easier and fun. No? Understand, no? It's no more like doing all those work. No? And my type of career is I got a lot of field supervision or activity. Of course, design is one aspect, but design is not my. It's more towards supervision, contract administration, project management, and I'm very good at that. That's why my job become very easy. Then later on, I expert in privatization, in property development. That's why my last job was like honeymoon. I like that job. Very good pay and very easy job. Every time go around look for property, go and gather all this information from the property market. Then we also source around for investment possibility, and people come and see us, consultant, those who have this type of investment opportunity for you, they will come and see you, especially the property agents and all those things. Then sometimes it's because people got contact about projects and privatization and all that. So they came and see us, then we will talk to them, discuss, then we will take them for lunch or whatever. Then after that, we visit the site, then we vet through many things. So the job was very fun. Then of course, we also have this ability to deliver, to contribute. We are capable of big things. That's why later on, we don't apply for job anymore. When we go for interview, we always say, you don't have to worry about what you pay me. What you pay me is peanut. What I am capable of delivering is something that is beyond your wildest imagination. What I need is the structure. Your company must be big enough. You must have those projects. Because I'm capable of big things, I can deliver. Then my last job, I helped the company to make a lot of money. Make a lot of money. Even the property investment itself, I enhanced that property project by at least 100 million extra profit. Then there was a project claim. Towards the end of the project, they passed to me. And through my understanding, I was able to claim extra 44 million for the company. That's why I say, what you pay me is chicken feed. The interest from what I make for you can pay me for life. So a lot of this thing, when you understand really, you go there, you talk, different. I don't come and look for a job. Then I always tell them, you don't worry about how much you pay me. Because what have you got to lose? Try me out 3 months. True or not? Let's say you pay me 50k or 100k a month. 3 months is only how much? If I cannot deliver, if I'm a bogus, you only lose that amount, understand? But if I really can deliver, you can pay me for life, understand? So all this thing is your understanding. That's why you become different. Then from the track record, they know this guy is different. Everywhere he go, he stay longer. So don't misquote me. I didn't advise you to change job because you got tremendous pressure, but it's also one of the way, like the five ways, one of the way. But if you know how to apply the Dhamma, there is no pressure. Yeah. When I was with a consultant, my classmate, he helped me before when I was in the uni. Then I have this POV. I went out and helped him. That company, you know, after I went over there, they started to make a lot of money, you know. Every year they make good profit, then give me increment twice a year, good bonus, everything. Then finally, you know what happened. Before I joined, they were in recession, you know. Cut pay, cut bonus, everything until very miserable. When I joined, everything became very good. Then because they saw me so efficient, so good, every job I go and handle for them, the client like us, give a small job. Then after that, people outside came to know, also come and give a job, until the company got so much job, that's why the profit keep on going up. Until the bank call out the officer, wow, your company is so cash rich. So much cash in the bank, you all don't want to invest or do something. So all these things, you will find it very strange. You know? Then what happened was, after all this thing happened, they start to give me a lot of job. Because all these jobs based on me, the client say, if you on the job, this job is yours. But how many can I take? Well, I only alone, no. Of course, the office back out. So they finally gave me an engineer also. Then I was running simultaneously more than 10 projects. No. Oh, some are very big. No. And you know what happened? The meeting clash. A lot of things clash. No. So for me, it's very simple. I go back to my boss, my classmate, and say, hey, this one clash, that one clash. So how? Then he looked at me. Oh, never mind. These two I attend for you. So you pass the... I won't say problem, understand? You pass the whatever issue back to him, understand? Because how can you attend so many? The meeting all clash. But luckily, some of the clients are very understanding. When I call up, I say, today's meeting, can I be excused? Hey, no problem. You just fax me whatever you want to report. And the client report for me in the meeting. So I don't have to go. That's why you can have this type of client. Because they respect you. They trust you. An important meeting, I will go. That which is not so important, I will ask for permission to excuse. Yeah, I say clash. Hey, no problem. They are very good, actually, very understanding. But all this happen is because you can deliver. That is what makes the big difference. Oh, I almost forgot. Just now, Adam got a question. What was it already you want to ask?
Already gone so far past, so
if oh, you back, cannot recall. Never mind.
I can recall, actually. I have five questions to
ask. Okay. Yeah, I can answer them. Come, shoot.
Okay, first one, I think I was said that just now, what's the position of fear inside the three aggregates of evil? Like
fear is delusion.
Delusion, huh?
Delusion. When you don't understand, then there is fear. Fear, delusion. You don't understand. You don't know the truth. That's why there is fear. Fear about what? The future. Fear about death. Don't know what happened after you die.
yeah. that's why fear is a very
delusion.
Big part.
Delusion.
Mm. All right. And then the second one is basically I'm just asking for guidance because I helped a friend overcome her depression.
Oh, very good. And then
I told her that she is quite gifted because I can sense it. She able to learn the Dharma, but actually she don't like Buddhism as a whole. She actually more closer to Christianity. So I teach her the Dharma without telling it is a
religious label.
So I, after I guide her to her heart feeling, and now she said that she was so liberated. No, yesterday she just liberated. Yeah. She said like the whole world like changed around her. All is so bright.
Yeah.
And her heart is so liberated, like because she was so clinging to her success, like, because she is very successful in life, she fall to the trap of the 99 where there's only that 1% missing and she hold on to it. So I managed to make her realize because all this while is like she knows the weak point, but she don't know how to overcome the hard obstacle, and I don't know
how
why
to untie the entanglement inside.
Yes,
but so this is what attachment is all about: clinging, grasping, holding on to one thing.
Yes, so she managed to overcome it, and it was she said was so happy and like
liberated.
And I said
like Eric. The whole heart here like lifted, and the whole thing gone, like rooted out, and he know this is permanent fix. It won't come back and haunt him anymore. The depression, the 19 years of depression. You see, half his life was in depression. Oh, sorry, 14 plus year in depression. Continue.
So after she gained the insight into it, she can basically listen to her heart, almost like me, but better because she directly listened her heart. She can hear the voice of the heart. This considered wholesome to follow the voice of the heart always? Yeah. Okay.
Yes. So when you follow your heart, it's always for the good part. The heart is where the conscience is. You remember the blue book? The heart and the mind. The mind is the cunning part. The mind is the mundane mind that has the evil root, the delusion. So you follow the heart, it's the conscience. That's why sometimes when you do something, the conscience will prompt you and tell you this is wrong. It's against the conscience. And you will know. But it happened for a while only, and it's not. You are not mindful, you are not sensitive. But if you are sensitive, your heart becomes very different. Because this conscience is very powerful. That conscience inside there will prevent you from making mistakes. You can never make mistakes anymore. Because this is not right inside there, will tell you. It's nothing to do with the conscious mundane mind. The conscious mundane mind with its views, opinion, conditioning and also belief system, this one is deluded. It will simply tell you things, and your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your envy, your jealousy, your wrong thought, all come from your deluded mind. So that one is the one that caused a lot of suffering to living beings. But when you go to the heart, you feel it's always very soothing. And when you really know how to feel, it's very calm, very peaceful. But when it's very noisy, it's not the heart. It's the thought creating all the chattering, understand? Telling you all the funny things.
Okay, so now she felt like she's moving according to the world's will, and also the world's will is moving according to her. It's like she felt very in sync with the world. What way can help her more? Because I felt that she has the potential to reach another higher level, I believe she has the potential. So I don't know how to help anyone.
It depends on her condition, because what you need to develop the understanding is when you change, when you have the understanding, she will have faith in you. Then she is willing to listen more. Then she will change more. But like you say, she is more inclined towards Christianity. Otherwise, this Sunday you ask her to come for the talk. This Sunday the talk is very good. Success in life, following the Dhamma way. So there is no Buddhist connotation there also. Except the word Dhamma. Dhamma is truth. Understand? Now, it don't have to be a religion. Dhamma is truth. Universal truth. Nature's truth. So it's not a religion. So the Buddhist teaching is based on truth. Based on nature's law. Then how to apply this truth to develop the understanding of life, so that you can develop the ability to have a good life. To have a good life means you need to be successful in whatever you do, or you venture into, or what they call, whatever that you want to develop as a career, as something that you would like to realize or achieve. That's why success in life covers the whole lot of materialistic success that normal living beings look for, and also the spiritual success. Because without the spiritual understanding, your life is not complete. You still have problems. You may be very successful in the materialistic sense. Materialistic success, a lot of people look forward to. That's why you work very hard for what? To be successful in life. And what is success in life? Your measurement is what? Money. Financial success. But is that all? Money, of course, is important. We call it financial freedom. But if you acquire that money through unscrupulous means, not following the Dhamma way, which is not the righteous way, then there can be karmic repercussion. It can hit back. Do you understand? And it can lead to problem, downfall. You can lose everything that you have made. Then there are many things in life that you need to have as success. First is academic. You need a degree, or maybe an academic success. You can excel in your academic field, you stand a better chance. Although certain people may not agree. Like Dim Go Tong, he never go to a school. he didn't really have proper schooling. And yet he's so successful, he makes so much money. But how many can be like Dim Go Tong? Not that many. But most people need a career supported by academic credential. So academic success is the first thing you look for. Then from there, you build up a good career, career success. After you have career success, of course, financial freedom or monetary success will follow. Because this is a natural consequence of what you do. When you are successful in your career, you will have the financial freedom. You will be successful financially. Then after that, you will most likely get married. Listen up. You may have a beautiful home. Yeah? Maybe with your success, beautiful spouse, or handsome spouse. But then, can you have relationship success? A harmonious family unit. That one not many can. Most people fail miserably. They tend to have a lot of problems when it comes to the family unit. Then when you confront the reality of life and existence, the first noble truth reality, can you cope? Then you confront all its sickness and death, separation from loved one, prized possession and all things. When you have hit people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, what happened to you? Are you still peaceful, happy? Yeah. Then the last part of the success is you get to retire early to do the things that you want to do in life. True or not? Yeah? Is that what you want? You don't have to worry about money. You want to travel, you travel. You want to have good life, you have good life. You want to buy nice car, you can afford, you buy. You want to travel, you want to try adventurous thing or things that you never tried before. You can have this ability to do what you want to do in life, so that you can have the good life, the happy life. And the best is the last part, the spiritual success. You get to live the life of a noble one, an enlightened one. A life of tranquility, stillness, peacefulness, joy, happiness. Free of suffering. And that is the most important, no matter what happened. Oh, so fast. 10:30 already. What is your next two questions? You only
okay. The next one is I have this problem 3 days ago when two days ago when I go and help out. Because lately I've been doing the healing chi technique people.
Okay.
And then I going out with that.
What type of healing you do?
The Yuan Shi Quan. Chang Shi Quan, longevity.
No, you use energy on.
Yes, use energy.
Is it Reiki?
Pardon?
Reiki? Is it Reiki?
They say it's close to Reiki, but it's not.
Chi,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so I wear
what is your problem?
I wear that shirt, the shirt longevity, and when I went out for 5 minutes out of my home, straight away there's this one old man who approached me. He claimed that he's 62. And then he said that if you pity upon me, you would donate your money to me. And okay. Then he said like this straight, no, and lucky there's a fence separating us. And he began to like he looks very tired, and then he likes breathing very quickly.
Okay.
So I just asked him to please take a seat, like, because have a rest. Then he said no, he doesn't want. He said, are you giving the money or not? So it's like it awakens me, like, it's like, okay, he asking for money is one thing. Then after that, there's one lady passing me. I just said that, sorry, I don't have enough money to give you, or my notes is just too big. So I also worried to say, because who knows. So I said, okay, my money's too big, so please forgive me, for I can't give you what you want. Then he said, he spoke in Mandarin, like, okay, he don't. When he walked away, and then he's like saying that I'm a very cruel person. So I was not perturbed, because with the right view, I know this is not the right way to view. Uh-huh. So another lady passed by, she had a bad impression of me, you know, she like looking like I'm such a like very bad person. So it's like
what is your question?
My question is how do we really protect ourselves, like, because when we do good, it seems like there's also another part of the world is testing us, you see. When we are doing kind and we're wearing the shirt, there is this force in this world that is like against this group of people who is doing kindness. So how do we protect ourselves?
But you have to be careful, because the good that you are doing to you is good. To you is helping people, because you are applying what you believe to be good according to you. This is not the Dhamma way. The Dhamma way is not to do all this type of healing. The Dhamma way is to explain to people. When people understand, their problem really resolve. When they don't understand, it's like you try to heal. Every time your problem come back to you, heal. And do you know, when you heal, you touch energy. You touch karmic energy. So some of this karmic energy has its karmic repercussion. It involves a lot of things. If you are not ready with the wisdom and the understanding, you touch this psychic field or energy field. That's how a lot of people get into problem. Karmic. So it's not to say all these force try to test you. No, this is not that one. This one is karmic. You attract that type of people. You attract that type of... Sometimes people come and challenge you. Understand? Then if you have a problem, they will create certain type of friction. Then they start to blame you. Let's say after you heal, then that person develop problem. Then he go and see another healer or whatever. Then the healer say, you go and let that fellow do this. He has harmed you. Whatever. You get into trouble. That's why, even for me, I teach you. I never do for people. You can go and ask all the guys, but I never get involved. Because this is nature's law. If you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. That's it. You cannot interfere. You only manifest when there is condition for you to help. Finish. Help means let them understand how to come out of it, not to interfere. But if you are gifted with that type of chi or energy to help people, then my advice is develop the Dhamma understanding first, then only do it. Otherwise, it will backfire. A lot of things about karmic you will never understand. It is good according to you. That's why a lot of people play with all this energy thing. They get into trouble for nothing. Shen Hua also get into trouble last time. You go and read his biography. Then the demons who wanted to actually take revenge. On land, they cannot do anything to Master Shen Hua because he's very powerful. These two actually, it involved a story of a lady. That lady was an old lady with a lot of karmic problem. And she almost about to die. Then the son is a very aggressive butcher. Then he really had filial piety. He loved the mother so much. Then he heard people say, Master Shen Hua can heal people, can cure people. Actually, that time Master Shen Hua already vowed not to do this anymore because he know karmic backfire. This guy, you know what he did? He took the butcher's knife. He go to Shen Hua's temple, threatened to commit suicide if he don't heal the mother. So Shen Hua got no choice. Finally, he went and healed the mother. And you know what happened? There were two non-human inside there. They want to, through past life karma, they want to take revenge. And the mother must die. But because he used his psychic to heal the mother, so they survived. So these two non-human went and see their master. Then the master told them, no, we cannot touch Master Shen Hua. We are on land. He is very powerful. You can read his biography. Then they wait till he sailed to U.S. Before he started the One Fortune, the city of 10,000 Buddha, he received this prediction, I think, Liu Chu Hui Neng, according to Shen Hua in the biography. Six patriarchs came to him and tell him to bring the Dhamma to the West. That's how he went. He went. And he doesn't know English, you know, when he went. Then, middle of the ocean, they came and attacked him. Shen Hua almost died. But he has faith in Kuan Yin. So he chanted Kuan Yin. And Kuan Yin came. The nature came. Helped him. Then after he arrived at the United States, you go and read the biography. He was poisoned. And his psychic also very good. He can keep his poison somewhere until he reached U.S. only he cleared. I don't know, all this psychic one, I got no experience. You go and find out yourself. So my advice is learn the Dhamma. The Dhamma way is a much better way. But if you are gifted, I say the word gifted means you have that potential, the gifted potential from the past. You have been doing this healing, means you are very good in it. And then it's different. Then you can do it, but you must have the Dhamma to protect you. Means you don't interfere with things too much. You just do when there is condition to do. Yeah. And you don't simply interfere. It's better to teach people how to clear it themselves. Yeah. Because certain type of sickness, you need to see a doctor. You better advise them to see a doctor. Understand? But if it's something that you can heal through your skill or your gifted ability, then no harm trying. But be careful, because things can get bad if people don't understand. Then people can blame you, especially if it involves bodily part. people can blame you. Okay. Yeah. Any more?
The fourth one is which one? I can't recall.
Never mind. Next session. Okay. Thank you so much for your question. Also, Angie, Sadhu. Do you have a question, Angie? Just now I thought you raised your hand. Yeah. I saw her raise her hand also. After you raised her, she raised it. Push it out.
About the anatta. That means when we can see that there's no self in the three universal characteristics.
Yeah, the three universal characteristics of anatta you will see in your five aggregate of form and mind.
Like I used
to explain, the five aggregate of form and mind, when you have the meditative mind, you will see very clearly that this one is not you. The five aggregate, they go the way of nature. They have this universal characteristics of impermanence. Like your feeling, it come and it go. You're still around, you didn't die. So how can feeling be you? That's why feeling is not you. Perception also same, sankhara also same, consciousness also same. Consciousness arise and pass away, you didn't die. This physical body, the rupa, make of four elements, go the way of nature. This one got no knowing, how can it be you? That's why rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhara, vinyana, the five aggregate, they are impermanent. You grasp and cling, it lead to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. These are dependent originating entity, condition arising, causal phenomena. When condition is there, it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases. So what is this? This is just a vehicle and a tool for us to come to this existential world, karmically conditional. So use it. Do not be deluded by it. Do not be deceived by it. So anatta means not a permanent unchanging entity that you can call, this is me, this is I. No, this one don't belong to you. This one is non-self, but it's not nothingness, understand not? It's not no self, no. It's non-self, it's not a permanent unchanging, but there is such thing as a human being, do you know that? The human being exists, and this is subject to karma. That true nature is not subject to karma. There is another nature which is beyond, but that nature also anatta, not a being, not a permanent unchanging entity, although it's the unconditioned. So your understanding will deepen when you cultivate more and more of your mindfulness until it's very stable. Then when you can go through the cessation, only you can truly understand what anatta is. Before you go through the cessation, at least a glimpse, means change your lineage, you become Arya. Unless you go through the experience, you cannot understand the true meaning of anatta. The initial understanding is more of the Dhamma level contemplative level, the first and second turning. But the third turning, you have to go through that cessation, the direct seat. Okay?
Yeah. Well, I think, Brother, we can see if we become more, you know, aware that there is really
certain moment, you can see deeper, but inside. You still have to go through the cessation. The cessation is very important. If you don't go through the cessation, the former mind cannot understand what is the unconditioned. If you cannot understand what is the unconditioned, you will never have the true understanding of anatta nature. You will never believe that this is not you. The egoic mind will still be there. But once you go through that cessation, the egoic mind got no power over you. It's completely rooted out, that delusion, no more. And you can understand things very clearly, very differently.
But even now, you see, like, if we look at what is happening...
Correct, because it's your contemplative wisdom. Mm-hmm. It's your contemplative wisdom that allow you to have that understanding, which is good.
So we can see the ego in other people.
Correct.
Like, for example, in Hong Kong, we can see, they are so egoistic. And they are not backing out, you know, backing down.
Yes, they are just the way they are. We don't want to say whether it's right or wrong. It's an ideology, you understand? Living beings are just the way they are. They are conditioned in that way. They will react that way. They will do things that way. So that's it. Finish. Understand? So let the society evolve on its own. Like just now I explained, if you want to contribute, you radiate love, you radiate metta, then we do our best. After our class, we share merit, we transfer merit. We try to make the world a better place, our collective consciousness a better collective consciousness, with more understanding, with more virtue, less evil root, less negativity. That's why finally the individual must change. When all the individuals start to change, then only society change. Otherwise, not easy. That's why I say you need the numbers, about 1%. When 1% change, the whole world change very fast. You only need 1%, but now it's 0.00001%. That's why it's still a long time to go. Now maybe 1 in 100,000. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us share merit, transfer merit, then we invoke blessing for the nation and the world. Now we include the world. Yeah, now the world is very chaotic. Very important is the individual must change. Change means we change for the better. So when we change, our consciousness change, we will know how to contribute. Yeah. Although it's only one consciousness. But one consciousness, if that one is really beautiful, it can actually give rise to a lot of condition for transformation to happen. That's why my nature is different. I come to share understanding, wisdom. I never interfere in anything. I go through the nature's way, which is nature's law. Okay, we start with sharing merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakantu kasasana ita wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetu cha Pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko ibina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. But Malaysia, you don't worry. Our consciousness is very strong. That's why the last election, we all survived. Otherwise, your currency could have gone down the drain. Really, with this type of trade war, I tell you, you are lucky you can still be around. You look at Venezuela, recently Argentina. Overnight, their economy, their currency. So, have faith. Our consciousness is still not bad, despite what you hear. But don't add to the division and problem. With a rational mind, have love, be at peace. Don't be emotional. Then radiate love. May there be peace. May there be harmony in our country, in the world. Then radiate love to the Hong Kong people. May they recover to good condition for their society to go back to normal functioning. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their heart. So you keep on radiating, it will have its effect. Radiate to all beings. Starting from your loved ones, then Kayamita, then the world. All this will happen. Okay, so I wish everybody having the good understanding of Dhamma, then may you all have the good condition to realize the truth soon as possible. Then may all your good and noble wishes come true soon as possible. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, all of you have this kind heart, but you don't know how to generate, make it strong, make it powerful, so that it can really open up and be a blessing to the world. Okay, so we end. Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Triple Gem.